Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Elizabeth Breck, author of the debut novel, Anonymous. Elizabeth, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, if someone hasn't heard about your new novel yet, how would you describe Anonymous?
Well, I would describe it as a classic mystery with thriller components. Once you start reading, you can't put it down. And as far as what it's about, shall I tell you what it's about?
Yes, sure.
Okay, great. So I am a licensed private investigator myself, and I've written a novel about a female private investigator named Madison Kelly, who lives at the beach in San Diego. And she comes back from a run one day, and there's a note on her door that says, "Stop investigating me, or I will hunt you down and kill you." And she thinks to herself, I don't have any open cases right now. How is this possible? I'm not investigating anybody. And so in order to figure out who left the note, she has to do exactly what the note is telling her not to do, which is investigate.
That's a great setup.
Yeah.
So do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to write Anonymous?
I do, actually. It's loosely, very loosely based on I would say it's not even based. It's just the impetus came from the Golden State Killer. Some people may not know he's an infamous serial killer who was recently caught in California. Prolific, unfortunately, a rapist and murderer. And before he was caught, which was just a couple years ago, I was watching an episode of, 2020 or 48 Hours or something like that. And they were going over all the clues of who this person is. And, you know, he's been killing people since the 70s. And I went on to Twitter when the show ended and I got in with, you know, hashtag Golden State Killer. And I started tweeting with people about my clues and who I thought it might be. And then I went to bed and in my big house by myself. And I suddenly thought, you know, this guy's a monster. He's a true monster. What if he's following people on social media and I'm getting too close to figuring out who he is and he figures out who I am and comes after me? And it was somewhat irrational or completely. And I got up and I deleted all my tweets. And I thought, well, what if he had found me? And that's the impetus. Because Madison Kelly, it's in the first few pages, I'm not giving anything away, she quickly realizes that the note was left on her door because she had been tweeting about two mysteries of disappearances of two women in the Gaslamp District in San Diego. So that was the impetus.
That sounds interesting. So as you said, you're a licensed private investigator in California. I'm sure that we've all seen hundreds of mystery and crime novels and TV shows about private investigators. I wanted to ask you, what is the real life experience of a private investigator in California in 2021?
Well, I specialize in insurance fraud, as does my Madison Kelly, my alter ego in the book. She quickly moves into missing persons and murders, which I have not. But you're right. We have all read a lot about private investigators. And I actually, maybe there is one, but I don't know of another female private investigator writing about a female private investigator. And I can tell you that they get it wrong so often. And it's so frustrating when I'm reading something and I go, that it would never happen. A perfect example would be, it's sort of a silly one, but the TV show, the famous TV show with the male private investigator who drives the big red fancy car, his sports car in Hawaii. You would
Magnum
never,
PI.
Yeah, Magnum PI.
Yes,
you would never tail someone in a fancy red sports car. I mean, my God, you would get spotted in a block. You know, you have to be in a very nondescript vehicle. So that's just one example. Like, I've never been able to watch that show because I'm just like, are you kidding me? But my book has, and the second book comes out in October in the series. Everything that she does is what a private investigator would do, down to the fact that there's a couple of surveillances and tales that she does that I actually did, that actually came from my real life. You know, it's that real. I'm putting actual real things in there. And otherwise, if, you know, she's in a situation I haven't been in, I put myself in that situation in my mind and thought, what would I do? So it's very realistic. But, you know, for an example, in one scene in the book, someone tries to steal her car while she's in the back doing surveillance. And that actually happened to me. So it's a harrowing moment in the book and in my life.
So I'm curious, do you carry a firearm?
I don't. I could get a license as a private investigator to carry. Open carry is really sure. One of the first things that you get as a private investigator. And I started to go through the process. And actually, I touch on this in the book. Madison does have a license to carry a concealed weapon, but she talks about it, and it's really my feelings on it. I have guns, but I thought to myself, you know, if I'm in a situation where I could shoot myself out of the situation, or I could use my wits to get myself out of the situation, which would I rather do? You know, what kind of a decision would I make if I have a gun rather than, you know, I need to get myself out of a situation that's dangerous? You know, would I stay longer because I have a gun rather than leave? And also, when you're out, you know, when you're at home, if someone's in my bedroom in the middle of the night, I can shoot them. I don't have to ask questions. There's not supposed to be anyone in the middle of the night in my bedroom. So, but if I'm out in the wild, suddenly there's a lot of decisions. Like, does this person actually mean to do me fatal harm? If I shoot them, is there anyone around them that I could hit? Could the bullet go through them and hit someone else that's an innocent bystander? So many decisions. And I've thought about it a lot, and I just decided I don't want to do it. I'd rather get myself out of the situation than have a gun.
Sure. So what was your writing journey that led you to writing and getting your first novel, Anonymous, published?
Well,
what's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I'll give you the high points. Anybody that wants to hear the details, they can go to my website, elizabethbreck.com. And I actually have on there on my blog, you know, sort of the, basically I went back to school to, cause I thought to myself, getting older, I can't do surveillance for the rest of my life. It's a very physical job. And so what might I do? And I thought, you know, I'd like to go to law school and become an attorney, perhaps an insurance, you know, fraud attorney, some kind. So I went back to school and I majored in writing at the University of California, San Diego. And in the course of that, I got breast cancer. And I suddenly thought, life is short. I don't think I really want to be a lawyer. I've been writing as part of my college classes. I started writing about Madison in my fiction classes. I was writing about, my travels in my travel writing classes, doing surveillance. And so I thought, you know, why don't I just write a book? And so instead of go to law school, so I wrote a book and I literally just did the slush pile. I emailed query letters to literary agents. And I got an agent from that rather quickly, and just the old-fashioned way that everybody hears about. And then actually my first book that I got the agent with, it was an earlier Madison Kelly novel, didn't sell the first time. Actually, a year and a half of sending it out to publishers. They all said no. So I wrote a different Madison Kelly novel, all the same characters, but just a different plot. And it sold in a week. So I've had both. I've had the agony of defeat and the thrill of victory.
Wow, that's great. So are you working on another novel featuring your protagonist, Madison Kelly?
Yes, actually, I'm just finishing the edits on book two in the series, and it's due to come out October 12th. So everybody should read the first book so they're ready for the second one.
That's great. So were there any female mystery or thriller writers that inspired you as you were working on your debut novel?
Absolutely. I've read 10,000 murder mysteries. I've been reading murder mysteries since I was 10 years old. I started with Sherlock Holmes and I've read everything, but I would say Sue Grafton is probably the biggest influence on me. I always say I am the real Kinsey Millhone because I really did live in a small studio apartment by the beach and do insurance investigations. And so Madison Kelly does that as well. And I'm always thinking, like, I hope people don't think I ripped off Sue Grafton, but I'm writing about my life and that really is what I did. So she is a major, major influence on my writing.
Well, given your success writing and getting your debut novel published, and as you mentioned earlier, you had an earlier version of that novel that did not get accepted and you ended up rewriting it with a different plot. Given all of that, what writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories and novels?
Yes, I have writing advice. My advice is that if you're writing, you're probably an artist. You have the heart of an artist. You're creating worlds and it's a wonderful, beautiful thing, but you have to realize that publishing is a business and you have to be able to take off your artist hat and put on your business hat when it's time to get your book sold and to get an agent. And you cannot take things personally. You will destroy yourself if you take things personally. When you're sending out query letters to agents, you know, decide that after 60 days, if you don't hear a response, it's a no. And if they do send you a form letter, be thankful that you got a form letter so that you can end, you know, take your attention off that agent. Don't be mad that they sent you a form letter. I see on Twitter, you know, these writers, they get so upset, you know, I got a form letter. Well, gosh, I was excited when I got a form letter because I knew I could just check it off, be like, okay, done with that one. You know, it's not personal. They need a bestseller. They need a book that they can sell to a publisher. And then once you have the agent and they're sending it out to publishers, the publishers want a book that's going to sell and is going to do well. Nobody's working against you. They all want it to be a good book. So if it's not selling, there's a reason for it. So when my book didn't sell after a year and a half, I didn't blame the market. I didn't go, oh, these publishers, they have no taste. You know, it's like if you opened a store and you had customers come in and nobody wanted to buy your stuff in your store, you wouldn't get mad at them and think those stupid customers don't want the stuff. You'd change what's in your store. So that is my major number one piece of advice is treat it like a business and don't take anything personally. And if you're not getting an agent, figure out why. What's going on with your query letter? What's going on with your book? Have an editor look at it, etc.
That sounds good. So what novels or nonfiction books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
Well, I'm reading Richard Osman, The Thursday Murder Club, which I think is cute. I really like reading biographies and autobiographies. And I think that since I've started writing murder mysteries, I have a tendency to want to cleanse my palate. So I don't want to read another murder mystery. So like, for instance, right now I'm reading, I love Broadway and musicals and acting and things like that, theater. So I'm reading Seth Rudetsky's, I think they're called Broadway Diaries, something like that, where, you know, he's writing about all things theater. And I enjoy things like that. But I also, like, every once in a while, I'll see a book and I'm like, I've got to read that. Like, I read The Sundown Motel. I can't remember the name of that author, but I loved that book. And Laura Lippman, Sunburn. I loved that book. So those are some of the ones I've read recently.
That's great. Well, where can people find you online if they want to learn more about you and your novels?
So the best thing is my website is elizabethbreck.com. There's lots of stuff on there. It shows all my social media. It has, I'll put this podcast up there. I have all my other podcasts that I've been on. It shows you where to get the book and all that. And then if you want to remember, Twitter, I'm at the blonde PI with an E at the end of blonde, at the blonde PI on Twitter, and Elizabeth.Breck on Instagram. But if you just go to my website, elizabethbreck.com, you will be directed to all those things.
That's great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Elizabeth Breck, author of the debut novel Anonymous. The novel is on sale now, so go buy a copy. And Elizabeth, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you.
Great.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.